You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have some topics lined up for you to talk about and inform you.
That's
but,
right.
But, you know, sometimes we go off on a tangent and we'll start going off the rails.
That's also right.
Yep.
We teeter on the edge, I always say.
Yes.
We always teeter on the edge. Keep you on the edge of your seats.
Yes.
Literally. You know, if we can't keep you interested, then we tip the car on the rails to keep you on the edge of your seat.
Yes. And kick the supplies out and just be like,
and kick the supplies out.
Yeah.
Guess what, everybody?
Wild card.
Wild card.
So
we're flying this plane with no parachutes, baby.
Yeah. You're in this for the long haul. But before we delve into all the topics that we do have planned for you, we like to do a little bit of a intro as to what we've been up to since we last did a show. So, Mike, what have you been up to in the past week?
I watched. Sorry, I just like totally
yeah.
blanked there.
I'm supposed to talk about my plans.
I did.
I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
Exactly. It's very secretive.
Yes.
I work for MI6. No,
and and at night you join the Eyes Wide Shut orgy people.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
No, actually, the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
That's your nighttime plans, right?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
A good time were had by all.
Yeah. All's well that ends well.
That's right.
I know it's something to do with sex.
So it's going to be awkward to transition back to this, but I watched Zootopia over the weekend.
Yes.
Hey, you're like launching into orgies, and I'm like, well, I was going to talk about a family-friendly animated movie about animals,
sure.
But, you know,
that's all right.
Orgies, animated comedies, whatever, what have you,
yeah.
Whatever floats your boat.
Whatever, yeah. Whatever makes you happy.
Whatever makes me happy, yeah. Well, no, this weekend I got a chance to watch Zootopia. I was really looking forward to that movie, Disney animated movie about animals, you know, anthropomorphic animals. Living in their little animal world, and the gist of it is that predators and prey have found a way to live together. And they have this place called Zootopia. It's like supposed to be a utopia for animals. However, as we quickly find out in the movie, there are still some barriers, much like in real life, where we say that we're supposed to be open with everyone, but there's still these, you know, racial barriers or what have you. And so the movie actually deals a lot with that, which is very mature subject matter for an animated film, but they handle it with a great deal of finesse and very smartly, and they make it relatable for a wide audience. And a lot of really funny stuff in there, too, that both children will find funny and adults will find funny. Really heartwarming tale with a great message and some subversive ideas there where they twist certain elements that you weren't expecting, like who the bad guy ends up being and the relationships between the characters. So it's a really, really great movie, very funny, very well put together, especially from a craft perspective. Everything is tied up in the end, and everything serves a purpose. You know, if they introduce something in the beginning of the film, it's going to come back by the end of the film, which I really appreciated. So I got to say, like, a solid 8 out of 10 for Zootopia. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, there you go. Mike's movie review.
My mini review. That's what I was up to this weekend. More recently, I've been poring over all the E3 stuff that's been happening recently. But
we'll get to that.
We'll get to that later in the show. But for now, Rich, what have you been up to recently?
I dusted off the PlayStation 4.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, I went back to it.
So what'd you play, or what'd you dive into?
Well, I had three big updates that I hadn't gotten to.
Okay.
The first was Rocket League. I hadn't played the hoops mode, which that was fun.
I really like the hoops mode.
Yeah.
My brother absolutely hates it, but I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. I'm surprised at how well it works. Rocket League really does a good job of taking an idea and making sure that it works.
I'm looking forward to the inevitable football update. You know they're making one. I mean, American football.
Well, why don't they should just do?
They have to be at some point, right?
They should just do what Grand Theft Auto did with that one game mode with I forget what they called it, but it was like one car was the designated runner.
Yeah, and like two cars have to protect it, and you have to like get from one end to the other end.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. There you go.
They could do that, or something like Crush the Carrier, where you, like the ball attaches to you and you win based on how much time your team possesses the ball. Like, I would like a mode like that too. But yeah, Rocket League has just been hitting it out of the park.
Yeah, great.
In terms of its updates.
Game developer.
Definitely. Psyonix, go support them.
Yeah. And then the other update I did was the new Grand Theft Auto 5 update.
Oh, diving back into that, huh?
Yeah, which I still love Grand Theft Auto 5. It's still so much fun to cause chaos and everything. Unfortunately, you need like, this is going to sound depressing, but you need like a lot of friends.
And, no, it's true though.
Yeah.
You need like a group that you know are going to be on at a specific time.
Right. That's really what I mean.
Yeah.
And I don't have any friends, okay?
I run into the same problem, though, Rich. I run into the same problem.
Yeah, you need a lot of friends who are all online the same time you're playing Grand Theft Auto. And
you need friends that have a PlayStation 4, friends that have a Grand Theft Auto 5 on PlayStation 4, and that are playing at the same time as you.
Yeah. And
that want to do the same thing as you. It's like four different variables that you need to line up. And I really envy people that have those groups where it's just like they can go and, you know, play anytime, because I find it hard to, like, we've tried to schedule gameplay sessions.
Yeah.
You know, and we've had it work a couple of times.
Yeah, we did a couple heists.
Yeah, we did a couple heists, but, you know, everybody's schedules are so tough.
Yeah.
You know,
and so the update that's available now, Finances and Felony, I think is what it's called. It is, yeah, you kind of need more friends, because what you do is you try and build, like, your own criminal organization.
Oh, that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, like, I don't have enough friends to build.
Right.
It would just be, like, me and you.
Yeah.
That's it. Just like, an organization of two.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe Bruno.
Well, we need a separate PlayStation 4 for that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Damn it. We can't win.
I know. But so did you dove into Grand Theft Auto 5 anyway?
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to play the new modes, or
not too much because of
you
that
didn't have
limitation.
The crew? Oh.
But it's still fun.
Did you join into anyone's crew and then like stab the leader in the back?
No, because I only did like one mission and then like the group broke up.
That's the other thing about online games is that
people
are always leaving and coming in and it's always shifting.
Right.
Oh,
so
well.
Anyway, yeah. So I didn't really get a chance to play that much of it. But it seems like a pretty cool update.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance,
if I ever have friends,
aww, play the sad music.
Please help.
Do 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 do.
Anyway,
hit us up on PlayStation.
Yeah, tweet at us and find our PlayStation names.
We'll play with you. That sounded wrong.
Yeah, what are you doing over there?
Get your minds out of the gutter, everyone.
I know it's something to do with sex.
Man, orgies at night, playing with people during the day. How are you not in the odd news yet?
It's 24/7, Rich. It's nonsense.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
It's really exhausting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I always sound so mellow during these podcasts, because
you're
it's just
tired.
I'm just tired, yeah.
There you go.
Anyway.
Yes. So there you go. What we've been up to in our week since the last
already
show.
Starting things off with a bang.
Sure, why not? Hopefully that has hooked you in to find out more of our show. And we'll delve into our first segment here. We call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Yep, sports coming at you in your face.
Ha ha.
That's right. And this we're bringing this back. I think this is going to be a regular segment. We started this off last week.
Yeah, we debuted it last week. We really enjoyed the segment. We thought it worked well. So what we're going to do here in the Sports Sampler from now on is to kick off, we're going to have a couple of different stories thrown at you really quick. We call it the two-minute drill.
Yep, 2 minutes to talk about a few topics in the sports world. Let's see if we can do it. This is the two-minute drill. Mike, take it away. What do you got?
All right. This week, we got a lot of NFL news. First up, the Eagles re-signed, or rather extended, Cox's contract.
Yeah, perfect transition.
I should have thought that of last, that one a little better.
From that last segment.
Yeah. So the Eagles sign defensive lineman Fletcher Cox to an extension.
A big extension.
So big. It was a, it's a big one. It's a big meaty extension through 2022. It's reportedly
no problems. There.
No problems. No, he's very happy with the extension. It's working out well for him.
Perfect.
It is quite big. $103 million.
Yep.
Cox has a big extension.
It does. It's true.
It's true. I'm not making this up.
Yep.
$63 million guaranteed. Most of that guaranteed money. That is the most guaranteed money for a non-quarterback in NFL history. Speaking of the Eagles spending some big bucks, I found this tidbit. The Eagles have outspent all the other NFL teams in guaranteed money since January 1st of this year. And they've spent close to $280 million with eight players receiving at least $20 million guaranteed.
Yeah, they had to re-sign a lot of people, and they have Carson Wentz.
They did,
Not a surprise as far as I'm concerned.
But you know what? As long as it works out, I'm fine with the spending spree.
Yeah.
As long as it's not another dream team.
Right, and I don't think anybody's saying that. To go back to Fletcher Cox, though, Von Miller of the Broncos is happier than anybody can be.
I bet he is.
His contract?
Yeah, this is going to help him with his negotiations.
Yeah,
definitely.
The Eagles needed to get theirs done first before Von Miller.
Yeah, or else Von Miller's would have been bigger than Cox's.
That's right.
We can't have Von Miller bigger than Cox.
No. So there you go. That's our two-minute drill to start off the sports sampler on this episode.
I mean, we're talking about extending Cox in something called the two-minute drill.
Boy, man. Stay tuned.
This podcast already, like, what, the first 7 minutes? We've already had, like, I think, like, more innuendos than we have minutes in the podcast.
Yeah, man. Keep
we're on
up.
Fire. Well, don't worry, Rich, because it's only going to get more exciting. I'm telling you, man, this next segment, holy crap.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about the U.S. Open.
Woo, yeah, U.S. Open. Oh, my gosh. Get your clubs
golf
out.
Golf clap. Don't get too excited, Rich.
Yeah, all right. I'm ready to go, man. Get your clubs out. Get your shafts ready.
Get your shafts ready, yep. Yeah.
Clean
your
balls.
You're going to be swinging some big wood, right?
Yeah, you got to. This is the U.S. Open coming up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got to put it right in the hole.
Yeah, right in.
Yeah. Do many golfers get birdies in the hole?
Well, they should, but at this weekend they might not.
Okay, you're just like, whatever.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to run with
it. All right. So tell us about the U.S. Open. This is a golf thing?
Yes. It is the second major of the year.
This is not the one in Augusta. That's the Masters,
That's
right?
The Masters, okay. Yeah. This is the U.S. Open, this year it's at Oakman Country Club, which is regarded as one of the toughest courses that a major could be played in.
Where is that?
Outside of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I believe, if I remember correctly...
I didn't know Pittsburgh was known for golf, but
yeah.
Sure.
And apparently, if I remember correctly, the Pennsylvania Turnpike actually splits through two of the holes. Like...
What?
Yeah, like there's an...
They're golfing over the turnpike?
No, like it's like above it. Like you can see it when you're golfing.
You can... So the turnpike is under?
Oh, like,
I'm
like
so
around
confused.
It.
Oh, around
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You said splits two holes.
Like, I don't know. I'm probably bad with that description. But anyway, the point is...
Do people have to like run across the turnpike? Like sprint! They get their little golf carts? Like,
yeah.
Just everybody comes to a screeching halt to let all the golfers pass?
Yeah.
So anyway, you're up in the Pittsburgh area, please tell me what this looks like because I'm thoroughly confused.
Well, anyway, The point is, this year it's at Oakman Country Club outside of Pittsburgh, one of the toughest courses in the country. Before I get to that, here's something that we usually do right before a major happens. We like to go over the odds. Who's the favorite, okay. Right?
Of course, yeah.
According to Vegas, the favorite heading into this is golfer Jason Day, who won last year's PGA tournament.
Okay.
He has a very... He's probably like the best overall... I'm trying to describe it like... He does everything that a PGA professional should. He might not excel in anything, but every aspect of his game is up there.
Okay, so he's consistent in his skill set, I guess.
And I guess Vegas is going to be valuing that because the conditions at Oakmont this weekend are going to be absolutely difficult. I will get into that in just a little bit after the odds.
Okay.
So Jason Day is the favorite at 6-1. Then Rory McIlroy at 7-1.
Okay. That's a name we've heard quite often.
That's right. Then Jordan Spieth, who, if you remember, choked away a chance to be back-to-back Masters champion in the last major.
Yeah, he's like the new, or what people were calling the new Tiger Woods, right?
Yep. He's at 8-1.
Okay.
Then we have Dustin Johnson, who led throughout most of last year's U.S. Open, but then he choked in the last round. He's at 12-1.
Johnson's going to have a big showing. He's going to put it in the hole a lot.
Make sure those balls are clean for Johnson.
Make sure the balls are clean.
Yep.
He's got a great stroke, from what I hear.
And
this whole sports sailor is just like one after the other.
Then after that, it's Justin Rose at 20-1. He's won a couple of majors before.
Okay.
Phil Mickelson
that's a classic name
in the running, but he's never won a U.S. Open, so that would be cool if he finally wins one. He would complete a career grand slam if he does.
That would be nice. But he's been playing for quite some time, hasn't he?
Yeah,
like a long time.
Yep. Hmm. And then Ricky Fowler, both Mickelson and Fowler at 28-1.
Is Fowler the one that won that most overrated player?
Yeah,
thing?
And then the next weekend,
and then he won.
He dominated the tournament. Yep.
So that would be interesting to see if he can do anything at the U.S. Open.
So just to give you an idea of who the favorites are going into this weekend, Vegas always gives you the best chance to see who do you think the favorite's going to be.
Okay.
All right. But now with that being said, I'm pretty sure this is the first time I've ever done anything like this. I have an official Greens report. Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes, we have a condition report on the grass.
Okay. So you are the grass expert, then. An expert on the golf course grass, right?
I'm an expert on various kinds of grass.
Various kinds of grass, okay.
Not just the golf grass.
Bluegrass.
Sure.
Wheatgrass.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got...
So I can't wait for this thrilling report about a freaking lawn.
Yes.
Is it green?
It's green, but...
Wow, thank God for that.
It is very green, but man, I got to tell you, the reports coming from Oakmont are almost atrocious. The
I can't imagine a report about grass being atrocious.
Yes, all right? We are talking serious stuff here.
Okay.
Because, essentially, it's going to be either you hit the ball in the fairway... And everything's good.
Yeah.
Or you're...
I love the music.
Or you're screwed. Okay. Those are your two options,
or
apparently.
Or you're screwed?
Yeah.
Okay.
The rough is being kept at some of the highest levels that a major tournament has ever seen.
How high is it?
It's a good... It'll come up to your knee. It's...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really high.
Right.
What the hell?
Yeah.
That's not normal grass.
Right. It's there. This is not normal grass.
Why would they do that? That's stupid.
Just a screw over the PGA professionals.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
I've never seen a golf course like that.
Oh, yeah.
Do they know that there's a Zika virus thing going around? You can't have tall grass and standing water. Come on, golf. Just golf addressing the whole sport.
Well, in addition to that as well, over 200 bunkers have been fitted throughout the golf course. And
a bunker is a sand thing, right?
Yeah.
200?
200 on 18 holes.
What?
Yeah.
It's stupid. This whole thing is stupid.
Yes.
That's 11 bunkers per hole.
Yes.
That's insane.
Yes.
You're basically golfing on Tatooine at that point.
Yeah.
Is there any green or is it just all sand?
Well, I mean, the oak.
So off to the side, it's tall grass, and where you're golfing is just sand. You're just golfing on the beach.
Let's put it this way. These
players... I think
players,
they're making it unnecessarily difficult.
Right. That's what PGA is trying to do on this one. And Oakmont, for that matter. Oakmont is trying to solidify its place as being one of the toughest golf courses to be at.
You just put a pool of piranhas and like let alligators loose on the course. I mean, if you really want to make it difficult, make it difficult. Put a ring of fire that you got to jump through or something.
There we go.
Yeah.
Do battle golf at this rate.
So there's no regulations in the golf, is there? In terms of course construction. If they wanted, they can make it 1,000 yards long. They could put spike pits.
Sure.
They could let a tiger loose.
As long as you have 18 holes, yeah.
Is that really the only condition? You have to have 18 holes?
Yes.
Is that even in the rules?
Yeah, you need 18 holes.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure about that.
Can they go more than 18 holes?
No.
How do you know?
Because that's in the rule book. I know that.
That's in the rule book.
Yep.
But they can literally do anything else.
Pretty much.
That's insane.
They
should make one that's completely water. Just water and then a hole in the middle.
Arnold Palmer, who has golfed...
He's a drink, isn't he?
Yes.
I didn't realize a drink could golf. This is impressive.
No, the golfer, Arnold Palmer, who has played at Oakmont several times and lost a playoff to Jack Nicklaus in the 1962 Open, has said that this is a kind of course where you can hit all the greens in regulation and still not even come close to winning.
Wow.
The practice rounds have been going through so far.
Right.
And golfers have been complaining about how fast and streaky the greens are.
Okay.
There are challenging setups, narrow fairways, thick rough. This is going to be, we might see shots where it looks like we're golfing. All right. That's how bad this course is going to be.
I highly doubt that, Rich.
I'm telling you.
Okay.
This golf course, I don't think we're going to see an under par winner.
Really?
Yeah.
Has that ever happened before?
It's happened before.
Oh,
but
I don't know. Excuse me. I don't know.
Yeah, Mike, come on.
Come on. Get up on your golf history.
Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't realize.
It usually doesn't because most of the professionals try and shoot under par.
Right.
But on a course like this, it's going to be absolutely insane.
Do you mean like well over par, though? Like double digits over par?
No, hopefully not. That would truly be our level if they're doing double digit over par.
I think you're looking for triple digit over par in my case.
No, at that, if you're doing triple digit over par, you're leaving.
not even playing golf at that point. I'm playing a different sport at that point.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question though. Has the PGA ever stepped in if a match is so bad and they're like, "Yo, you guys gotta sort your crap out for this golf course next time"?
Yes.
So the
not as intimidating as you made it.
Say the winner, he wins with like 12 over par. Is the PGA going to be like, "Yo, you can't do this next time"?
Yeah, they'll do some warnings. Yeah,
they'll send one out to like the British Open or whatever the next one is, and they'll be like, you know.
Well, here's something that I don't know why this is the case, but apparently this is only a real problem with U.S. Open locations.
Because we're crazy. The U.S. is just insane.
Yeah.
We're just insane.
Because for the British Open, they usually do a links course, which the only problem with that is usually just wins.
Okay.
You know, so that's not – that usually doesn't cause that much of an uptick in scores. But the U.S. Open, the last couple of years, yeah, we seem to have these – weird conditions and weird courses, and it's like, what are we doing? Come on.
Because the U.S.
Just
likes
to do a regular course.
The U.S. likes to prove that we're like tougher than everyone.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, you guys play on grass? Well, we play on like lava.
The Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Yeah, exactly. And this year, we're moving the 18th hole to the middle lane of the Pennsylvania Turnpike. What does the rule book say if a car interferes with a golf ball? They have rules for wartime.
Yes.
You're telling me they don't have rules for a car?
I think for a car, you're going to have to take a drop. I think so. Here's another issue that's happening over at Oakmont. they have issued a 300-yard par three. This is insane.
Okay. I don't know.
300 yards.
Is that a lot for golf?
That's a par three is usually the idea. What a par three is, one shot, you're on the green and you two putt.
Right. Okay.
So they're they're usually like 180 yards, 190 yards, 200.
And this is 300 yards for a par three.
Oakman has issued a 300-yard par three.
So you need what, two shots to even get to the green? Then at that point.
Well,
or three shots to get
the in? Argument is some of these long distance hitters can drive 300 yards,
but can they do it accurately?
But like a guy like Phil Mickelson, I don't think he's going to be able to hit 300 yards on a tee shot. Maybe,
that's sad.
maybe if he gets all of it in his swing and the winds blow in the right direction, maybe it'll bounce 300 yards.
Well, this is what I mean. Like the golf course, they can do it if they wanted to be insane. They could do like 500 yards par two.
Who's to stop him? Well, this is a real life example. 300-yard par three.
Now you've played golf. Is this like really?
Oh yeah, this is
really exceptional. Nothing like you've never seen anything like this.
I would be livid if I had to do a 300-yard par three. You know?
Oh come on, Rich, you're a power hitter, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
400 yards.
I am not a power hitter. If anything, I'm the complete opposite. I like the short game. I love like.
Why don't you like mini golf then? Short as you can get.
I meant like chip and putt.
Chip and putt. Okay.
I like chip and putt.
Okay.
Give me my little chip and putt.
Is that the one where you have to hit the golf cart?
What? You mean the driving range?
Oh, the driving range. I don't know anything about golf. Come on, man. Do I look like a golfer? Do I look like somebody that's going out there and hitting golf balls? No.
You sound kind of like mad in there a little bit.
I don't know. You got to hit the golf cart.
Is that how it works?
Boom. Tough acting, ton acting.
Boom, 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 boom. They just ran right at him. Yeah, he not only rambled, but he rumbled and stumbled.
I want to see Madden commentate a
golf
game.
John Madden, he's the commentator.
He's setting up at the tee, and a swing-a-boom, he's hitting the golf ball. It landed on the green. That's what they call the grass.
Yes.
Actually, Madden, I don't care.
Tell us about the grass, Mr. Madden.
It's really high. I couldn't find a sandwich in there if I tried. Why he's looking for a sandwich in the grass?
He's
just rummaging around. Where I dropped a sandwich here earlier.
He's very hungry.
Oh my god!
Poor Madden. All right.
Poor Madden.
Very hungry.
He's got a tough job, man. I tell you. Anyway, I completely forgot what we were talking about.
Anyway, so the conditions here at Oakmont are being viewed as very negative.
Okay.
There is one advantage to all this.
Okay, what
and
is that?
And I think that it might be a big factor in attracting new viewers to the U.S. Open is the fact that on courses like this is really the chance for anybody to win.
Mm, okay.
I think that's why going back to the odds, we saw, you know, the favorite at 6-1. Usually we see them at like 3-1, 4-1.
3-1, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
6-1 is pretty high for the favorite.
Yeah, and even the second and third place guys were like 7 and 8-1, weren't
right.
they?
So it says to me, I think this is going to be a wide open field. I think we're going to see probably an unknown come out of nowhere and climb up the ladder board.
That would be exciting to see somebody, you know, one of the names that you haven't heard a lot. You see somebody new. And hopefully it's a close one as well. If Vegas thinks that, you know, the odds are going to be this tight, hopefully it'll be a battle down to the wire, you know, and nobody will just pull ahead and just win it outright.
I think this is going to be one of those majors where the last round is going to be who doesn't mess up the most, you know?
you're expecting them to have a lot of issues then.
I mean, some of the conditions.
It sounds like it.
I mean, I know we were making a joke about my grass report, but it's legit, man. These guys are saying that. If you don't hit the fairway,
well, hit the fairway. Then you're professional golfers.
Yeah, they should. But if you don't, you're asking for trouble. And then not even that. Then when you get on the green, the putting greens have been viewed as very fast and very challenging. Then,
you know what I mean? Here's if you don't hit the fairway, you basically just give up. How do you hit a ball out of knee high grass?
Yeah,
I don't even think you can.
There's been a couple of brief videos, like Snapchat videos, showing how bad. the rough is.
Right.
There's one video where a guy takes a drop on a practice round. He takes a drop. He right. drops the golf ball, and you can't see where it went.
And he can't find it.
Like,
that's bad.
You're taking a drop. Like, you're supposed to be able to see as the ball leaves your hand. Like, what are you doing?
That's crazy.
So, it's nuts. And while it's going to cause absolute chaos,
it might
and
be exciting
trouble,
though if it's chaotic.
Right. Well, you know? that's what I'm about to say. While it's going to cause absolute mayhem and extreme frustration for all these PGA golfers, I think for the viewing audience, this is going to be awesome because we're going to see these golfers mess up, and this is your windmill argument.
This is your windmill argument. Oh,
you
yeah.
said a while ago, you know, let's
put
make it like mini golf.
Yeah.
Well, here you obstacles. Go. The PGA yes. is doing it with the U.S. Open.
Don't you know, Rich, I have some big connections high up in the PGA.
Well, here you go. You've done it.
I don't want to spoil anything, but next year they're going to be adding castles with drawbridges.
There you go.
I'm just saying.
Right on the St. Andrews.
I don't know what that is, but sure, why not?
It's like a royalty golf course. Very, okay. very, very prestigious.
They're gonna have like little tunnels that you have to hit it through on the green, you know?
Does it go through pipes? You know, bing,
yep.
bing, bing.
Yep, yep. And there's going to be three different ones you can shoot it into, and one of them leads off into the water, one of them leads directly to the hole.
Yep. One goes into like a wheel and...
A yeah. wheel?
Yeah.
Is this the board game Mousetrap?
Yes. It's Mousetrap.
I never played that game as a kid. You know that?
Mousetrap?
Yeah. Wasn't the point of it just to, like, make the machine go? Was there an actual game?
There technically was a game. The object was to get your mouse at the end without it getting caught in the mousetrap. But nobody ever played it. You always just wanted to set up the trap and see it
right,
work.
Right, right.
That's how every game of Mousetrap ended.
I never played that.
Every game of Mousetrap, if you ever brought it out and you said, hey, let's play Mousetrap, you never played the game. You just wanted to watch the trap happen.
You see, I wasn't even aware that there was a game. I thought it was just the trap.
No, there was an actual game, but okay. nobody played it.
You know what I always liked was building those tubes with the marbles?
Oh, you ever, yeah,
like
the marble runs.
Tubes? Yeah, the marble run. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah.
And there, you could like have different parts. Where you like you put a funnel over here and... And you do the little like twirly thing or whatever. They had like a bunch of different like obstacles for the marbles to go through.
Yep, there you go. Let's do that with golf.
I agree. I would watch golf
going,
nonstop.
If we're going
nonstop.
This route, a 300-yard par three and knee high rough and all this BS, yeah, let's do it. 200 sand bunkers. Come on, let's do it.
I've been calling for that for years. For years, Rich.
If we're going this route, PGA, go balls in. Do it all out.
I agree. Make it happen.
Yep. So there you go. Keep an eye on the U.S. Open this weekend. It should be pretty interesting. We'll go into a break, but don't go anywhere. We still have the entertainment entree coming up, and we have a big section there because we got to cover E3 and all the news that came from that. And then I have your dose of odd news and the non-Fortune Cookie odd news. Still plenty more shows still to come. Well, we will be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A real estate broker is in big trouble after she stole a taxi cab and drove drunk through the streets of New York City in the early morning.
Nice.
27-year-old Kinga Tabarez was arrested Friday morning after officers found her behind the wheel of a yellow Toyota taxi. Police said that the taxi was pulled over and Tabarez was vomiting out the window. The incident began a short time earlier when Tabarez and a friend got into the cab. When Tabarez allegedly refused to pay the cab fare, the driver decided to make a stop at a police station to help resolve the situation. Tabarez got in the driver's seat and drove away with his taxi cab.
Why wouldn't he take the keys?
Yeah.
He just leaves it running, just leaps out. I'll be right back. Don't touch the car.
Assuming direct control.
And she turned into a Reaper, apparently.
Her eyes
just glow red. Assuming direct control.
No driver.
Assuming direct control.
Officers approached the taxi, noticed barf on the ground, and said Tabaris smelled strongly of alcohol and had watery, bloodshot eyes. She was taken to Bellevue Hospital, where she reportedly refused a breathalyzer test. I wonder why.
I mean, did they really need a breathalyzer? She's got vomit all over the place.
She was released from the hospital and then charged with grand larceny, unauthorized use of a taxicab vehicle, and DWI. But guess what? She claims that, quote, the story is completely false.
Oh, God.
And that she plans to fight this in court.
What's her defense going to be?
I know. She turned into a reaper.
Assuming direct control.
It wasn't me.
Your Honor, I'll have you know, I'm 25% collector. And when Harbinger takes over my body and I glow yellow and shoot up into the sky, I can't be responsible for my actions.
My eyes matched the color of the taxi cab, and I had to take it for a ride.
Assuming direct control.
Not my fault.
I mean, she could definitely get off on an insanity plea right there if she went with that one.
I don't know. I hope she listens to this podcast, because I think we just provided an actual...
The Reaper defense.
Legal defense.
The Reaper.
The Reaper. It's actually like something used
in law textbooks in the year 2153.
They're going to cite the Crispy Noodle podcast.
Yeah, I can see somebody giving a presentation. You know, according to the Crispy Noodle podcast, they came up with the groundbreaking Reaper defense, which has been used in numerous cases throughout history.
Assuming direct control.
Hashtag Reaper defense. Let us know.
Hashtag Reaper defense.
Let us know how logical that could be in a court of law.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking and rolling after a crazy sports sampler, I think.
Man, very crazy, very crazy.
Golf, man, it brings out the craziness in all of us.
I know, it's one of those sports that has one of the most intense, passionate, craziest fan bases. I mean, the tailgate parties before golf, golfing events.
Oh, yeah.
Just wild. So much champagne, so many hors d'oeuvres.
So much nakedness.
One time I saw a person with their tie slightly loosened. It was like...
That's it?
It was, yeah.
No, because I'm talking about full-blown nakedness.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was joking, playing up the prim and properness.
No. There's been naked parties.
What, for golf?
Yeah. Woo!
Where? When?
Come over to my house during the U.S. Open. You'll find out.
Do you mean you're naked sitting on the couch watching golf?
There's a lot of people.
There's me and me.
Well, I don't know about you, but that's how I like to watch the master, the majors.
Okay.
All right? All the majors. Naked. Perfect.
With some beer. Yep. Some potato chips.
Perfect.
Awesome.
That's how you do it. But apart from our TV watching habits, it is time for our next segment. It is time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Sony just took its dick out. And just smacked everyone in the face with it for, I don't know, 70 minutes.
Yeah.
It could have lasted for way longer, and I would have been fine with that.
There you go. What is that from?
That is Colin Moriarty from Kinda Funny Games. They do a pod. Him and I think Greg Miller do a podcast called P.S. I Love You, and that was their reaction to the Sony press conference.
All right, I guess they really love junk in their face.
They're they very much love. Yes, they love Sony.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
And they like that as well. So, interesting little clip there. Because we are going to talk about E3 in this segment. But before we do, it's time to go over a weekly segment that we do have in the Entertainment Entree, where Mike lets you know about TVs, movies, and video games that are going to be released this weekend. So, Mike, it's time for This Week in Entertainment.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
All right, Mike, what do you have?
Man, a lot of sexual innuendos. Hopefully there will be none in This Week in Entertainment.
I know it's something to do with sex.
Wrong. First up,
You're bad, Rich.
Not for this one. First up in theaters this week is a heartwarming tale from Pixar, Finding Dory. It's a sequel to Finding Nemo, starring Ellen DeGeneres. It's got a 77 on Metacritic so far. It talks about the story of Dory, who is a forgetful fish, remembering that she has a family. And now they have to go on a quest to find her family and learn about her past. For those of you that are fans of Pixar and Finding Nemo, this one is shaping up to be really funny, really heartwarming. You can't go wrong with Pixar movies. So make sure you check out Finding Dory in theaters this week. Next up in TV, I cannot wait for this. I recently caught up on the series. Orange is the New Black is premiering season 4 on Netflix. Oh my gosh. I
know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
They hide lots of things in lots of places in Orange is the New Black.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
she probably went to jail for that one.
Yeah.
The season is premiering on the 17th, Friday the 17th. They're launching the entire series as the entire season as Netflix usually does. And you know what? If you haven't seen Orange is the New Black, you got to check the show out. It's very funny. You wouldn't expect it to be funny, but it's very funny. But the characters are also so relatable in different ways, and you really care about the characters. Each of them has these amazing redeeming qualities, you know, and it's interesting that contrast between, you know, these people who are prisoners, but also you see that there's so much more to them that makes them so complex and so likable, you know, separate from the fact that they're criminals. So go check out Orange is the New Black season 4 on Netflix. Also in TV this week, American Gothic premieres on CBS Wednesday the 22nd. Huh? I know. Sunday, Wednesday. That's me messing up with the rundown and not double-checking things.
Well, you know, that happens.
You know, it happens every once in a while. You get a little excited and you put stuff in the rundown that shouldn't be there. But Wednesday the 22nd, American Gothic is premiering on CBS. It's produced by Steven Spielberg. It is a 13-episode murder mystery miniseries. There you go. I got the rest of it right, Rich.
Yeah!
Hey, pat on the back for me.
You did it.
In the world of video games, it's E3 mofos, so there's a bunch of E3 sales and pre-orders up on the various online stores right now, so go check those out. And go watch some E3 coverage replays. There were so many trailers, reveals, and gameplay demos that came out this week. Too many to cover all of them, but that's what YouTube is for. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Yeah, so there you go. We're letting Mike off the hook.
You let me off the hook. You know, I added in an extra word to the rundown, and stupid brain, I just read both of them, Sunday, Wednesday. And I thought to myself, what the hell is a Sunday, Wednesday?
That's not true! So get your facts straight.
Yeah, all right. Mike Gundy's going to be angry at you.
What is this, 164 episodes? I could count the number of mistakes I made on one hand. No, I'm kidding. It's been much more than that.
Where are we at in society today?
All right. Well, let's move on to the meat of the entertainment entree. This is really what, you know, we've been keeping an eye on, I think, since the convention started.
That's right. I just teased it. I mentioned in This Week in Entertainment that E3 has been happening this week. So let's dive into our E3 coverage.
Yep, time for the latest in video games for the next year. It always debuts at this convention called E3. Sony, Microsoft, they all lay it all out on the line, their plans for the next
year.
That's
right. They're battling for video game supremacy for the next 1 or 2 years down the line. Let me tell you, Rich, this E3 was unlike anything I've seen in recent times. Just the amount of announcements coming out of Sony and Microsoft and EA and Ubisoft, or Ubisoft, as I recently not realized it was pronounced. Really fantastic stuff that they've been coming out with. But I want to get into some specifics here. I figure we'll start off because we're both Sony fans, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're both pretty big Sony fans. So I figured we'd start off with the Sony press conference. I'm just going to come out and say I think Sony had the best press conference of the major press conferences.
From the way that guy was talking earlier in our random clip, I think you're right, because yeah, he loved it.
Sony just took its d- out and just smacked everyone in the face with it for, I don't know, 70 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
It could have lasted for way longer, and I would have been fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you would have been fine with it.
You know what? I don't know if I would go that far. I don't know. Although in this podcast, you pointed out in the break, it's been all about penis jokes.
Yeah, so far.
So far.
You know, hopefully we can elevate the course of our discussion.
We try to be mature here.
Yes.
You know.
Keyword is try.
Try. But I will say that Sony came out and just, they had a whole box of microphones and they just overturned the entire thing. They open up the conference with this amazing, they had a live orchestra playing through the entire thing. And they start with this orchestra playing this really intense music with lots of drums, and it's very ornamental. And then they have the Sony splash screen, and then it opens up with a reveal of the next God of War.
Yeah, which is crazy.
To start off the press conference that way, straight away, live orchestra and God of War, not just a trailer, Rich, but a full 10-minute live gameplay demo.
Yeah.
They had a guy on stage playing it live. That means this game is at the point where parts of it are playable in a polished, finished capacity.
And it looked great.
It did look great. We both watched the gameplay, a great extended sequence where Kratos appears, right? And he's talking to apparently his son, question mark, because as far as I know, Kratos didn't have any family at the end of God of War 3.
Right.
Right? So
is it a reincarnation? Is it...
Right. Right off the bat, I mean, your mind is racing with questions. And luckily, Sony doesn't leave us in the dark here. They have a lot of details to provide. Basically, what I've taken from it, it is actually the original Kratos, because we both noticed this during the trailer. There was a point, I should get this out of the way, Norse mythology. It's set in, I guess, wherever Norse mythology is set. Norway?
Yeah, that's like Scandinavia.
Scandinavia, yeah. So
Vikings
and like furs and tundra and big like troll monsters. You know, no Cyclopses and Medusas like the Greek God of Wars. So has nothing to do with the setting and time of the old God of Wars. But two things were very interesting. One, we noticed on Kratos' arms what looked like scars from the imprint of chains on his wrists.
Right, because he usually had the chains with the,
yes,
the swords.
Yeah.
But they weren't swords.
They were called the Blades of
Blades.
Chaos. Yeah. Fans,
the Blades of Chaos.
It's such a badass game, isn't
it?
Yeah, fans will know that he had those seared onto his skin. So that's the first clue. And the second clue is during the gameplay demo, something popped up on screen for the player to activate something called Spartan Rage.
Which, that doesn't make sense in a Nordic setting.
Exactly. There's no Spartans or Greeks or anything of that nature in the Nordic mythology.
This is madness!
Madness.
This is Sparta!
Well, no,
it's
is,
not. It's Scandinavia.
Yes, this is North.
This is Scandinavia.
There's too many syllables in that.
No, way too many syllables.
Scandinavia. <Nope. laughs>
You can try, but I don't think it'll go over well with marketing.
No, doesn't fit.
But that to me indicates that this is the original Kratos, and that somehow, some way, he's made a big life change. I don't know how. I thought he died. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, in case anybody didn't play God of War already.
Yeah, you know, the 8-year-old game. But, I mean, that's how God of War 3 ended. He died, right? I remember him dying. Or we think he died.
Yeah, because wasn't there, like, a cutscene that showed, like, the rubble where he got thrown into, like, moving or something?
There's always a scene like that, yeah. There was something that led people to believe that he maybe wasn't dead. So, maybe he didn't die, and he washed up, I don't know how, in one of the Scandinavian countries.
Yeah, fast forward like 1,000 years.
Fast forward many years, yeah. So now he has another family with a son. One of the things that I noticed straight off the bat is the quieter, more open gameplay. New controls. You could control, it looked like you could control the camera. Fans of the other ones know that there was a fixed camera. Looks like you could control the camera, that there was a certain degree of exploration involved in it with walking around with your son, which is also something we've never seen before, AI companions. And Kratos wasn't just shouting the whole time. He was more, not laid back, but he was guarded with his emotions.
Yeah.
Which was really interesting for me because
he was more calm and composed than the demo, which is weird.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not who you think of when you think of Kratos.
It was weird, but I didn't ask you this when you watched the demo because I wanted to save it for the show. How do you feel about that new tone? It's very Last of Us-esque, right?
Yeah.
Like, after The Last of Us, everything changed for Sony, and now games are going in that direction. How do you feel about that new direction?
I think it works for a new generation. I think there's a very strong mark that has been made with this new generation of video games.
Yeah, people have to remember the original God of War series launched on the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, the very first one was PlayStation 2.
It was a completely different time where video games were supposed to be flashy and violent and over the top. Video games are not like that anymore. In this post-Last of Us world, we have games, you know, like BioShock Infinite, The Last of Us, Uncharted 4, these games that focus on the emotional connection with characters. And there was no emotional connection with the original Kratos in the previous trilogy, because he was just angry and yelling the whole time.
Yeah.
And it was fun to show off, and it was fun to, like, just let go and let your primal instincts take hold. But I think that this new Kratos is really something fantastic to behold, this new depth to him. And two quotes from the devs, from the developers, really made me stop and pause.
From the devs.
The devs. Yeah. I'm sorry. You're
very good friends with them. The devs.
Yeah. Very good friends with the devs.
I'm very close friends with Kratos. I call him Kratz.
Kratz. My boy K.
Yeah, man.
You know,
what's
me and
up?
K.
Yeah.
We're going to be tearing off some Athenians' heads over here, you know?
Yeah.
but the developers had two.
I'm very tight with James Bond. I call him Dub.
What?
I call him Dub.
What the heck is Dub?
Instead of 007, Dub.
Oh, just Dub?
Dub.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Dub. Yo, Dub, what's
Yo,
up?
Yo, Dub.
It almost sounds like you're trying to say Doug, but messing up. You know? But anyway, so I know my boy Kay, and you're hanging out with Dub.
Dub.
We should all four get together one time, you know?
But yeah, boy, that's going to be a crazy party.
Kratos and 007.
Dub and Kay.
Dub and Kay. Fantastic. But before we get together for that party, the developers had some great quotes regarding Kratos and the new direction he's taking. The one developer, I think it was Corey Balrog, who has been working on God of War since the very beginning, he said, quote, Kratos believes that being a god is a disease and that rage is a side effect of that disease, and he's terrified that he's passed it on to his son. So we have this man now that is concerned about the upbringing of this other person, right? Like, this other person in his life has changed his perspective on the world. But I really like this second quote, and this really makes me stop and think. Quote, this game is about Kratos teaching his son how to be a god, and his son teaching Kratos how to be human again. So it sounds like it's taking a much more grounded approach to Kratos and his character development.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm really looking forward to it. If, you know, nothing else than to dive into that Norse mythology. Thor, Loki. I mean, people think those are Marvel characters. They're not. They're real characters.
Yeah.
You know, so will we see Thor and Loki, you know, God of War? You figure they have to be in it somehow, yeah. Right? So I'm really looking forward to God of War. Some other great moments from the Sony press conference. And this is the thing. I was watching the press conference, and every trailer they showed, I go, oh, my God, I can't believe they did it. Oh, my God, I can't believe they did it. You know, big announcements, putting to rest some big rumors. Crash Bandicoot came back. That's been a rumor that's been going on for years and years. They announced that they're remastering the original Crash Bandicoot trilogy for PlayStation 4, which is big news for Sony fans because that was one of Naughty Dog's first series on the platform. They launched the PlayStation 1 with Crash Bandicoot by Naughty Dog, so it's going to be great. Naughty Dog isn't developing it, by the way. They're the ones that originally developed it. Another big announcement from Sony that I was just over the moon about, an exclusive Spider-Man PlayStation 4 game developed by Insomniac.
You mentioned this. You definitely wanted it.
I did mention this. I really wanted this, and if you watch the trailer, it looks so good. You know, we're big fans of the Batman series around here.
Yeah.
And Batman is great. It's slow. It's dark. It's brooding. You investigate crimes. It's very grim. Spider-Man is the exact opposite of that. And I think Insomniac nailed that in the gameplay trailer. It was fast. It was frantic. It was very acrobatic. It was very colorful, very loud, very fluid motion. And I can't wait to, like, swing through the city and jump off of skyscrapers and dive all the way down to the bottom before zipping back up. We haven't had a good Spider-Man game since, I think, the PlayStation 2 era. So yeah. I'm really excited.
Yeah, Spider-Man can be a good game. Why not?
Yeah, I think it's going to be fantastic. And also, it's interesting because this is a Sony exclusive. This is a PlayStation 4 exclusive. They're working very closely with Insomniac and Marvel. And both Insomniac, the game developer, and Marvel, the movie studio, says that this is the most ambitious game for both of them. The most ambitious game for Insomniac and the most ambitious game that Marvel has ever overseen. So I'm really, really excited for this. I know Insomniac's track record. They're a very, very good developer. So I'm very excited for this one, to say the least. Another interesting one, I think this one's probably up your alley, Rich. Days Gone, a completely new IP announced by Sony Bend, I think. It's a post-apocalyptic zombie biker game where this biker gang is trying to stick together through this zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, it seems like Sons of Anarchy mixed with The Walking Dead, which is like two of my favorite shows.
That's exactly how people are describing it. So could you see yourself diving into this one? It's open world, by the way, too. Could you imagine roaming around the countryside on a motorcycle, just mowing down zombies?
Yeah, it sounds like right up my alley.
I gotta admit, I'm interested about it, but part of me is wondering if we're focusing too much on zombies now in pop culture.
I'm surprised Norman Reedus wasn't tagged for that one. That's two of his favorite things.
It seems like a easy decision, right?
Yeah.
I guess why he wasn't tapped for that one is because the other big game that Sony announced, I feel like I'm just like big game after big game. That's exactly what the conference was like. But Hideo Kojima, the mastermind behind Metal Gear Solid, came out on stage. He announced a new game, Death Stranding, I think it was, starring Norman Reedus.
Yeah.
And this is another PlayStation 4 exclusive.
This is supposed to be like kind of the remnants of whatever PT was going to be.
Yeah, this is, you know, 2/3 of the original team behind PT with Kojima and Norman Reedus. And it has that very like weird psychological vibe to it.
Yeah. Mind F.
Yeah, the trailer, I'm not going to go through too much of it, but Norman Reedus is naked on a beach wearing a pair of handcuffs.
And all the girls already are swooning.
Yeah, all the girls are like, I'm pre-ordering this game right now. This is just a trailer, people. We don't know if that's what the game is going to be. The game is just like 12 hours of naked Norman Reedus.
Yep. And all the girls subscribe.
And all the girls, yeah. Sony's fan base just became like 70% female.
Yep.
But a naked Norman Reedus on a beach wearing handcuffs, and he's laying next to a baby with a black umbilical cord, and he picks up the baby, and he's like crying, and the animation, the face looks amazing. Then the baby disappears, and his hands are like covered in ink. And you see little handprints like walk down his leg. like really creepy, weird stuff.
Mind Fs.
Yeah. It pans out and the beach is filled with dead whales and there's things floating in the sky. And I'm going, what the hell am I watching?
I don't know, but
it has you interested, right?
Yeah, I want to know more about this weird game.
We have to. I know it's like you want to know more just so you can figure out what the hell is happening.
Yeah,
you know, more questions than answers. What else from the Sony press conference? They're really pushing a game called Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm really looking forward to that one. I'm not going to dive too much into it because there was so much about it. It's coming out in February, so we still have a ways to go. But they really impressed people with an extended demo. This looks like it could be a completely new franchise for Sony. This big action RPG set in this neo-prehistoric setting. They showed off dialogue choices, crafting, weapon variety, strategic combat. They showed off a lot in the gameplay demo. I highly recommend going and checking it out on your own. It's like a 10-minute demo. It's huge. It's packed full of great details. But really, that was the Sony press conference. There were a few other games. They showed off Call of Duty. They showed off The Last Guardian. They showed off Detroit, the new game from David Cage and Quantic
Dream.
Which
I'm looking forward to.
Seems like that would be up your alley. It's like detective noir type stuff, choice-based
gameplay.
And make
your own story. I love those.
The way I heard it described was a choose-your-own-adventure Blade Runner.
Yep. I'm in.
Yeah, I know. It sells it right there, right?
Yep.
Fantastic looking demo. Quantic Dream is known for their tech demos. Great facial animation. Great choice-based gameplay, it looks like. But that's really the Sony press conference in a nutshell. It was just big announcement after big announcement after big announcement. Lots of gameplay demos. Lots of new reveals. There's some that I didn't even touch on. There were so many to even keep track of. Only three games, I think, that were shown were multi-platform. All the rest, PlayStation exclusives.
Moving on, we got one more topic that we need to talk about. And that is one of our favorite video game franchises, Mass Effect.
Oh, man. I am so excited.
Can it wait for a bit? I'm in the middle of some calibrations.
No!
Well, you know what?
No!
I think they are in the middle of some calibrations because I had said they were going to show gameplay and they didn't. They didn't show gameplay. We're less than a year out from release, Rich.
Believe it or not, this damn gun still needs calibrating.
Does this worry you that we haven't seen gameplay and the game is due in 9 months?
Yeah, I think they're going to delay it to like summer.
Summer of 2017?
Yeah.
Oh, please, don't say that.
I think so.
I mean,
not to have any significant game footage by now. I mean,
it is a little worrisome. Over on the Mass Effect subreddit on reddit.com, people were saying, you know, back in 2010 when Mass Effect 2 was launched or whenever it was, they showed this at E3. And they had like a 10-minute demo before they launched Mass Effect 2. You know, so it's a little worrying that we don't have something similar. But I will say this. Take into account that demos take extra development time to make. You know, they have to make a specific demo to show off at E3. So I'm hoping that they're using that time instead to focus more on the game instead of making a demo that they can show off at E3. It's not completely unheard of to not see gameplay before a game release. Fallout 4 only announced its game like 6 months before it released. So maybe, you know, they're doing something like that. The only problem is they announced Andromeda like 3 years ago.
Yeah, all right.
You know, years ago.
Right, this has been going on for such a long time.
You know what the problem is? You're impossible to work for. You've been riding me for years.
Yeah, all right. riding this for years.
They really have been riding it for years.
You know what the problem is? You're impossible to work for. You've been riding me for years.
I think part of this is also trying to you know, keep hype at a certain level. You know what I mean? They don't want people to get overhyped and like have wild expectations. But I feel like that's what they're doing without showing.
That's what's going to happen anyway.
You think that's going to happen anyway?
It's going to happen anyway. It's the next Mass Effect game.
Yeah.
Everybody loved Mass Effect.
It's true. Everybody does love it. And there's no controlling the hype train. It's barreling out of the station, even though they didn't show any gameplay. But they did have some interesting details. The new ship is called the Tempest. And somebody pointed this out. This is really exciting. There wasn't a cockpit for the ship in the trailer. It was a bridge. You say, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
Well, this is going to get really lore and nerdy, but in the Mass Effect universe, the only ships that have bridges are cruisers and dreadnoughts and capital ships.
What's that?
Yeah. So basically what I'm saying is that this is a much larger ship than the Normandy, the ship from previous Mass Effects. And so to me, that indicates that we're going to have a much larger crew and maybe a much larger role in terms of managing that crew and managing the ship and, you know, what your character's role is in this exploration into the Andromeda Galaxy. How do you read that? The fact that it potentially this much larger ship that you're in or serving on or commanding a much larger ship.
I never really thought of it that way, that there's not a cockpit, but there's a bridge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is more like a Star Trek Enterprise type thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, why not base it off of a successful, you know, saga and boldly go where no man has gone before?
And I think that's, I mean, you summed it up perfectly what the new Mass Effect is, because the trailer opens with talking about exploring a new galaxy to find a new home. That's the plot of the game, is to find a new home for humanity. And also the developers announced, and I'm really excited about this, several hundred years after the events of Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, so it's completely removed from the Shepard trilogy.
Right, completely removed in the future, so we're going to know what happens, sort of, you know? We're not playing.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Right, well, sorry, but there's no more Commander Shepard.
You big, stupid jellyfish.
Not happy.
Hopefully they have a little bit more nuanced dialogue.
He's not happy about
no.
this.
No.
You big, stupid jellyfish.
No, he's not happy at all. But I'm happy because they've also confirmed that because they're moving away into a new galaxy, it opens up new story possibilities, specifically the fact that Commander Shepard was a hero already by the time Mass Effect started. But the new protagonist, Ryder, is not a hero at the start of Mass Effect Andromeda. And he or she will have to become a hero and follow that more traditional hero's journey narrative arc, you know, where they start off as like an underling or whatever, and they rise to the occasion. I'm excited about that story because it's more personal. It's a more personal story. It's a more intimate story.
More room to grow, too.
Definitely more room to grow. Yeah, by the time you're Commander Shepard, you're already like semi-legendary.
Yeah.
You know, and you're sort of thrown into those shoes and you're supposed to be like this badass space marine. I want to be rising through the ranks. I think there's something compelling and interesting about that story. That's why it's used so often. But to sum it up, the developers, I'm very close with the Mass Effect people as well. The developers.
Shep,
yeah.
How you doing, Shep?
Well, that's what everybody calls him on the Mass Effect subreddit. Bro Shep, Fem Shep.
Shep.
But the developers promise that we will have more information in the fall as we approach launch. So nothing now for the time being, but hopefully many more details will come out in the following months.
All right. And is there anything else you want to mention? Because, I mean, we can talk about E3 the whole podcast could be E3.
We could literally do a two-hour podcast on E3.
Yeah, but we got to wrap this up.
We won't do that. Just one or two quick more points. Something that you were disappointed about not showing up at the show, Rich. Red Dead Redemption.
Oh,
sequel.
Yeah, I was. I would have loved to have heard something from Red Dead Redemption.
Everybody thought they were going to show up. Yeah. Everybody thought they were going to show up. They didn't show up, so people are, like, the rumor mill is, like, going crazy now with possibilities of why they didn't show up, that the trailer may have been deemed insensitive in light of recent tragedies. So there's no indication as to why they didn't have a Red Dead Redemption. Maybe there is no Red Dead Redemption sequel. I mean, everybody thinks there's going to be one. There doesn't necessarily have to be one.
No, but it would be nice.
I think there will be one.
It would be very nice.
I think there will be one because it sold several million copies.
And it was a great
game. It was a great game. But for whatever reason, 6 years, we still haven't heard anything. The other big odd no-show, no PlayStation 4K.
Yeah.
Sony said that it wasn't going to be there, but people are wondering maybe they pulled it at the last second because they found out the Xbox Project Scorpio was so much more powerful than both the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 4K that they might have to go back to the drawing board. Again, take those rumors with a huge grain of salt. Those are just some interesting oddities that people picked up on at E3 this year. And of course, that only scratches the surface. For all the E3 coverage, go check out YouTube and IGN and even the Crispy Noodle website. We're going to have a bunch of stuff up there.
Yeah,
too much to cover.
This is your favorite time of the year because you love covering all this. So.
I love covering E3. I love reading about and watching all the new games and getting pumped for, you know, the future of video gaming. Like, 2017 is going to be huge.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge.
Yep. A lot of great games coming out at the
E3
conference.
I've got the best games, the biggest games.
There you go.
So, there you go. You had to get Trump's input, of course.
Yep. But yeah, check out the website. Mike will have all of his reports and his favorite things about E3 on the website. Check it out. And there you go. That'll wrap up the entertainment entree. A lot of news that we had to get to, but that's not the end of the show because coming up next, I've got your crazy dose of odd news that actually happened in the non-fortune cookie odd news. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I gotta get the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I gotta get the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Oh my God. I gotta hit the Crispy Noodle Podcast. They said podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A 39-year-old Pennsylvania man phoned the Allentown Township Police to report that someone stole his Jell-O from the break room refrigerator at work!
What?! We can't have this. Friends, there's a lot of things in this world that upset and anger all of us, but none of them are as vile as someone stealing another man's Jell-O.
If I can't have my Jell-O safe at work, where else do I go?
It was just the strawberry Jell-O. I didn't even get a chance to eat it. It was so young. I had only bought it that weekend. I loved it so much.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done. The sports sampler and the entertainment entree, two-thirds of the show is done.
That's right. But
yeah,
we hope
does
you
leave
guys,
the third.
I know. I hope you guys.
I did math.
You did do math. Yes. You did very good math.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Yay.
Yeah. But hope you guys have left room for that last third of the show. Because we have one of my favorite segments coming up.
Oh, yeah.
It's time for the wacky, the wild. The intro music is still going.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'm just waiting. I'm like, okay. It's time for the wacky, the wild. I was like, how long do I have to riff for?
Yeah. Another 3 minutes.
Another
go.
3 minutes.
Talk about how much you love the odd news, damn
it's a 15-minute loop. It's time. Well, you know what? That was pretty crazy right there, Rich. That was wacky and wild.
Yes.
Off the rails, like we are. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool. Uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay! what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, now you can say it, Mike.
All right, folks. Two things I want to point out. One, we're batting 1,000 with penis jokes.
Yeah, right?
Because so far we've had the intro, the sports sampler, the entertainment entree, and now I'm sure we're going to have something in the odd news. Because we had
there's always something.
Selling a bag of nuts. You know, that could be taken a different way. So we're batting 1,000 so far with that. So good job, everyone. We really pulled it together to make this happen.
Team effort.
Team effort. All of Crispy Noodle Nation. How do you feel about that, guys?
Woo!
Pretty special, right?
Yeah.
I know. I feel special. the second thing, I don't know what the second thing was.
Yeah, what
I'm just
was
like,
your second thing?
I led off with the dick jokes. Or sorry. With the
damn it, Mike.
Penis. Sorry.
Bad Mike.
I forgot. You can't say that word. I can't say that word.
That fucking sucked.
I know. I'm sorry. That fucking sucked. Oh, the other thing I was going to say is that scream. That's how I feel about E3. That's how I feel about the non-fortune cookie odd news as well. For those of you that might be unfamiliar with this segment, Rich researches the news. He reads the news and I react to the news. He finds all these wacky stories and he keeps them hidden from me. So I don't ever see them, so that my reactions are my gut reactions, my genuine reactions to my first time hearing these stories. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And Rich doesn't even know what's about to happen, because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths.
That scream.
That scream.
That scream. Okay,
yeah.
Just wanted to make sure.
Sorry, I know there was a long gap between the scream and me mentioning the scream.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also, there's two screams in that clip.
There are two screams. There's a scream, and then there's like an intake where he's like breathing in and screaming at the same time.
Yeah, which I don't know if that's possible, but sure.
He said it's not human.
Yeah, that's right.
Earlier in the clip, he says it's not human.
Yep.
He like breathes in and then screams again. It's very strange.
Yes, he's not human.
He's like some type of beast. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's not human. We're not human. The people in the stories aren't human.
Sometimes they're not.
Sometimes. So, Rich, I'm excited to get into the odd news. What have you got for us? What's first on the docket?
All right,
weirdness and oddities.
Let's jump in. This is the batch of odd news that I have for you. Let's do the first one. California.
Okay. Good old California.
Yep. I think
Cali.
I think this continues our theme of the show.
Okay. You mean the penis theme?
Yes, and the sex theme, too, because a California judge who was legally reprimanded for having sex with two women in his Chambers area was then reelected this past Tuesday.
All right.
I know it's something to do with sex.
Yeah.
You know what I think it is? It taps into a very primal urge that people have to have sex with people where they work.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
People are like, you know what? Good for him.
Yeah.
He's getting some in his private chambers at work. You know, it's, you know, the risk of getting caught, that makes it a little more interesting. You
that's
know?
The American dream.
That is the American dream. You know, life, liberty, property, and banging your secretary. It's right there in the Constitution.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
It's not in the Constitution. Don't go looking
for it. Are you sure? Maybe Trump put it in.
Maybe. This November, Amendment 28, bang your secretary.
Legally.
All the secretaries are like, what the hell? That's slightly sexist. Anyway.
Judge Scott Steiner won 56% of the vote against challenger Karen Schatzel. Schatzel, yeah.
Is that like schnitzel?
Schnitzel.
Just with a letter misplaced?
Karen Schatzel, who had pledged to restore integrity to the court.
Oh, we don't want integrity.
No, we don't want that.
We want people banging each other in the private chambers.
I know it's something to do with sex.
Steiner, she wrote on her website about Steiner, quote, "Steiner has made a mockery of what our community expects from our judiciary system, and that the voters are going to get what they voted for, unfortunately."
she must have been awful at campaigning.
Yeah.
How do you lose to a guy that, I don't know.
Steiner, who is a superior court judge, was officially censored in 2014 after the Commission on Judicial Performance actually confirmed that he had been messing around with his intern and a fellow attorney in his chambers after a court case.
Wow.
boy, man, they didn't waste any time.
No.
Not guilty. All right, let's go bang. Woo!
It's the quickest case ever. I mean, when you have a hot young intern, you know, it's...
Can't resist.
No, it's hard to resist.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
The commission said
there's a gavel joke in there somewhere.
The commission said that engaging in sexual intercourse in the courthouse is the height of irresponsible and improper behavior.
So if it had been on the lawn of the courthouse, it would have been okay?
Yeah, I guess that would be more okay.
Think of the wording, in the courthouse. Okay, we'll go in the parking lot out back.
Yeah, the further away you are from the courthouse, the better.
Oh, okay.
That's how it works. It's like...
There's like a blast zone.
Yes, it's a blast zone.
You're inside the courthouse. That right there, that's three strikes, you're out. The front lawn, that's like a reprimand. If you're like a block away, you know, that's all right.
Don't be in the blast zone.
That was live audio from the blast zone.
You can hear that. You're too close.
They give everybody in the front row ponchos.
Yeah, be careful. Man.
And for the audience members in the front row, you are in the splash zone. Woo! Everybody. It's like a fire hose.
This was not how I expected this story to turn out, but okay.
Rich's like, I got this funny story about a judge. He's banging his intern. It's going to be great. And we're turning into a freaking SeaWorld over here.
SeaWorld of sex or
the
something.
SeaWorld of sex. Yeah. Where Shamu was a judge and he screams as he ejaculates all over the courthouse. Was that too
this
graphic?
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Was that too graphic for you guys?
No, I think we're still good.
You have that image now. Hold on to that image as you try to go to bed.
In addition, he was also reprimanded for not excusing himself from a case that involved one of his sexual partners.
So conflict of interest.
A little bit. But guess what? The people don't care. He was reelected on Tuesday.
They literally do not give a crap.
Nope.
They're like, whatever.
Yep.
Guy's getting some. Might as well vote.
I can't blame him.
Yeah.
I can't blame him.
I mean.
America.
America, yeah. Oh. That's really what America's about. Doing what you want to do, you know?
All
Who
right.
cares if it's frowned upon? Yeah. You know? Gets another term.
Sure.
You know? Now, if poor Joe Schmo did that at his work, he's fired. He doesn't get his job back. Stupid judge. Anyway.
All right, moving on to our next story here. Let's do this one here. Brockville, England. Interesting.
All right.
I never knew there was a Brockville in England.
Are you familiar with many English towns?
A little bit with all the stories we do.
You knew every other English town except for Brockville.
Just flew under the radar.
It's like me and the devs, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Brockville, England. Brockville police said that a heated discussion about the shape of the earth led to the fire department being called in to settle a fire.
Hear this round. No, it's flat. I'm going to burn your house down. How do you make that leap?
Well,
how do you make that leap from the shape of the earth to setting things on fire?
Here's the
you
story.
Said fire department,
yep.
Right? I'm not imagining
nope.
this. Okay. So,
here's
assuming
the story.
Somebody got quite angry.
Police say that they were called to St. Lawrence Park on Monday night after a family had been involved in a full-fledged argument around a backyard bonfire. Apparently, a woman was insisting the earth was flat, and her boyfriend's father was arguing that it is round. Police say
that... Do people really think the world is flat?
I guess so, yeah.
There's so much evidence out there that it's not flat.
Well, apparently this woman...
You can fly around it! Have they never taken a plane trip? Have they never seen a TV show where people are flying airplanes? Have they never
Illuminati. they're up to no good.
Yeah, exactly. it's insane.
Yep. The argument got out of hand, police say that the 56-year-old man became so angry he started to throw random things into the campfire. And,
oh no!
And the thing that set the fire out of control was a full propane cylinder.
Oh my God. That sounds really bad.
Yeah, this is how angry people get.
About the shape of the earth.
Yes.
You know, because it's 1300.
Yeah, right? We're going to throw a propane cylinder tank into the fire.
I mean, really, guys, this was settled like 1,000 years ago.
Well, not with this woman, apparently.
She must be the dumbest woman in the world. Like, she has an IQ of 0.
I don't know, man. We had Terrence Howard, remember?
Oh my God.
He had like a list of like things he didn't believe in. Like,
and he said, like
1 + 1 = 2 or something.
Yeah, and he, oh my God.
I think that was one of his things too. Wasn't that one of his things
too? The world is flat?
I think so.
I wouldn't be surprised.
She's part of the Church of Terrence Howard.
Howardism.
Yeah. Next thing she's going to say, 1 + 1 = 2. She's going to disagree with my math that I did earlier.
What math? Oh, the 2/3?
Yeah,
the 1/3?
My brilliant math.
That actually was pretty brilliant because that involved fractions.
Yes.
You know, like 2/3 and 1/3?
Yes.
That's,
all right.
That's pretty intense.
I'm going to throw a propane cylinder into your fireplace. How do you like
why?
Because I'm angry.
Because I'm angry. It's like, we weren't even disagreeing. I don't care.
You were the closest thing I could throw.
Oh.
Anyway.
I'm glad I don't have a fireplace. Rich just comes over every week and just throws a can of propane in there. Rich, stop blowing up our house.
Brockville Fire Department was called in to put out the blaze. At some point, the man just left.
Well, yeah. I've proved my point.
Yeah, time to get out of here.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
Yep. Yep. Set the place afire. All right. Well, see you
that's
later.
It. Yeah,
that's
yeah. It. Well, he proved his point.
My job is done.
Yeah, that's the end of that chapter.
Moving on.
I mean, how can you argue against that, though? You know, it's like I say, no, wait, was he arguing for the round earth or the flat earth?
No, he was right. He was arguing for round.
Okay, he was arguing for the round earth. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you argue against that? He's like, the earth is round, and then he blows up their campfire.
Here's
the propane tank. So
your argument is invalid.
Yeah. Your argument is null and void. I blew up the bonfire. There's flaming shrapnel.
Done.
Yeah, it's done.
Argument over.
I would love to see like every debate ended that way.
That's a new mic drop. You know, instead of mic drop, propane throw.
Propane throw. Oh my God. The presidential debates are going to be so much fun.
4th of July's coming up, man. You got to get an argument with your family. There you go.
Propane throw. It's like, why do you have so many propane canisters? Don't worry. It's in case we get into an argument.
Yeah.
Everyone's like,
just in case.
What? Oh. These are my argument canisters.
Yeah, all right, just in case I need them. Police say that they are on the lookout for him to charge him with mischief. So if anybody finds this this father, he needs to be brought to the police so he can get charged.
Oh, wow. I mean, I hope he continues to roam around. What was it, Brockville?
Yeah, Brockville.
Blowing up bonfires to prove his point.
Yeah.
And just correcting everyone that's incorrect. You know, the earth is only 2,000 years old. Bam! Propane tank.
You're done,
yeah.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, going to Poland in this one.
Oh, I like Poland.
I don't think we've done a bus store.
We haven't done Poland in a while, but every time we do Poland, it's always very interesting. One, because the names are hard to pronounce. And two, because they're always really weird.
Yeah. Here's a weird story from Poland. A Polish nightclub owner who decided that he was going to practice his tank driving for a planned military party at his nightclub crashed a full howitzer tank into the front of his nightclub. Yes, please analyze this, Mike.
There's so many things. So, so wait, hold on. I'm so confused.
Mike has, like, his facial expressions are great right now.
I can't because I'm trying to. So he has a nightclub.
Yes.
Okay. He's planning. You said some type of tank show.
He apparently was going to drive his tank to a military themed party
at his nightclub.
At his nightclub.
What nightclubs have military themed parties? He's like, all right, we're going to get crazy with our tanks and our artillery.
Yeah, tonight's World War II night.
World War II night? It's World War II night at the club.
I don't know. You know? How else do you do this?
Instead of dressing up and having drinks, everybody puts on camouflage.
Yeah.
You know?
Ooh, boy.
Oh, man.
Nothing gets the ladies turned on more than
some dog tags and camouflage. Whoo, man. It gets you hot and bothered under the collar, right? All the women are wearing like those ghillie sniper suits. Yeah. So he was practicing.
Yes.
For his military themed party.
Yes.
He had an actual tank.
Yeah. And somehow he got the rights to an actual tank.
What was he going to do with the tank at the party? Was he just going to have it there? Like, here's this tank. Have some drinks. How do you work that way into your conversation, you know? Hey, you guys having a good time? Did you see the tank?
Club Mono in Spitzen live streamed a video showing the 38-year-old owner of the club practicing driving the tank around a dirt field outside of his nightclub. Unfortunately...
Oh, this is Poland. That's right.
Yeah, this is Poland.
I was like, why is there a nightclub in the middle of a dirt field?
Yeah,
I don't remember. That's Poland.
Unfortunately, the video ends when the tank crashes into the entrance of the club. A post on the club's Facebook page said that the tank was going to be a prop for a Saturday night military-themed party.
Poland has been conquered several times.
This
what
might be
military
why.
Theme?
This is probably why. They can't handle their tanks.
Oh, crap, we forgot we can't drive these things. I don't know what accent that was. If anybody knows what a Polish accent is, let me know.
Authorities investigated the crash and determined that the club owner wasn't under the influence of alcohol or drugs.
He's just an awful driver.
He's just a bad driver. And luckily, there were no reported injuries, and the damage to the building isn't too severe. So.
You think of countries that want to have military-themed things. Poland is not one of them.
Yeah.
Poland has been conquered several times.
Yeah, I don't understand like, why you want a military party.
There's so many things wrong with that story. One, it's set in Poland. Two, this nightclub is in the middle of a dirt field. Three, they have a military-themed night. Like, that's the last thing I would think to do a theme for a club is a military night.
Yeah, a nightclub.
Like, I understand, like, maybe you're honoring the military and, like veterans get, like...
Yeah, that's not what this is.
No,
this is a nightclub.
This is a nightclub. They have tanks. This is not a special deal for veterans. This is not like people showing up in dress blues. This is like camouflage and tanks.
And
what
yeah.
are they going to do? Go outside and dig trenches? We're going to have the trench digging contest now. Like, how do you do a military themed club? It doesn't make any sense. I understand if it's like 1940s, like you know, World War II, big band type stuff.
You know what it is? It's probably like when you go on like Party City or something and you check out like women's costumes or something for Halloween, and it's like
sexy tank,
sexy nurse. Yeah. You know, and it's not really a nurse outfit, it's just like a white button shirt that's revealing.
If nurses were really dressed like that, hospital visits would go way up.
Yeah,
you know what
you
I
know,
mean
you know sexy teachers I don't know sexy yeah. sexy cop
sexy
yeah.
cop.
The
yeah.
cops don't actually wear that.
Basically anything. You'd yeah. be like sexy IT specialist. You know, like I'm surprised they probably have sexy everythings, you know?
So I think that's what this is like, oh yeah, the girls are gonna show up in sexy military gear, but it's really just like
how is military gear sexy?
But it's not really
it's like, what, a camo bikini? Like,
yeah, like it's a camo t-shirt that's revealing or something. Like, yeah. It's not yeah, that's probably what this is.
Yeah.
Not like one of those not like an actual like tribute to the troops or something.
Right. This is just an excuse to get women to be half naked.
In the middle of a dirt field in Poland.
With a tank.
With a tank.
And nothing gets them turned on more than a tank.
Yeah.
They got that big, long shaft, you know?
Bitches love tanks.
Fire bitches love tanks. Man, I'm going to get my bitch a tank. She's going to love it.
There you go. She'll love it.
No, I'm going to f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
That's the way to a woman's heart, you know? Yeah, forget the jewelry, forget, you know, all that stuff. Get a military hardware.
Yeah, all right? That'll warm her heart.
Every girl loves military hardware.
At least to some degree. All right.
What does that mean, at least to some degree?
All right, let's move on. Move on to our next story here.
Sure, why not?
I love this story. Although I don't know where exactly this is, a town called Tsada, T-S-A-D-A.
T-S-A-D-A. Yeah. I will look it up, Rich. We will have our Wikipedia report.
Yes.
You ready?
Yeah.
Tsada is a relatively big village 8 kilometers north of Paphos city center. What does that mean? Does it mean anything? Help. I still don't know where this place is. Location in Cyprus. All right, so let's see.
Where's
what
Cyprus?
Else we have? The elevation is 2,018 feet.
Where's Cyprus?
That's a good question. I will look it up. Cyprus. I love the internet. The internet is fantastic. It's a country in Europe.
Okay. Okay. All right, thank you.
You know what? Google is only so powerful. I'm gonna find out. I'm gonna find out. Calm down.
Thank
let's
you.
See. It's near Turkey and Lebanon. Where is this place?
All right.
It's inside. Oh, it's inside the Mediterranean Sea.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I wasn't finished with my Wikipedia report, Rich.
I need to finish this story.
It only has right. 470 people. There.
Well, guess what? I got a story with these people here.
So you're telling me 470 people? There's odd news from this place.
Yes,
that's impressive. That's a really good ratio.
And this is pretty funny to imagine. Reports on Sunday said that the relatives of a couple who tied the knot in Tsada on Saturday are going to lodge a complaint with the cops after the officiating priest at the ceremony allegedly punched the groom's brother in the face during the actual ceremony.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Do you, Jeremy, just knocks out the brother?
Yeah, knocks out, not the groom, knocks
the
out
brother.
The groom's brother.
So wait, okay, hold on. So we've all seen like a wedding, right?
Yeah, just like that, bam.
Most people have been to a wedding or seen a wedding, and usually the priest, you're just going to punctuate the story with punches.
Sure.
The priest is like in the center, right? And you got the bride and the groom right in front of the priest. So where is the brother? The priest has to leave his location to go punch the brother, right?
but
you know how you know how a wedding looks, right?
Yeah. So you want to know the specifics here.
Right, because it's not like the brother's standing right next to the priest. I imagine the priest has to move to go punch him, right?
Yep, well, here
priest,
is...
Did you say priest or minister? What is
priest,
this?
Yeah.
Priest, okay.
Here's a story, according to eyewitnesses, during part of the wedding ceremony...
By the way, this involves like a quarter of the population of this town.
Right. According to eyewitnesses, during part of the wedding ceremony, one of the best men was shoved a little bit by the groom's brother during the traditional Isaiah dance in which the altar is circled 3 times as part of the ceremony.
Okay.
The report said that the priest became increasingly frustrated and enraged when the groom's brother refused to stop pushing one of the best men. That's when he threw down his prayer book and punched the brother in the face, drawing blood. Yeah, cold clock.
This
him.
Is the blood of Christ.
Pow! Wow,
that's impressive.
Lined them up. Bam!
Don't mess with those Tsada Tsadian Tsadite priests.
Yeah, with the Isaiah dance.
The Isaiah dance, I've never heard
of
that.
I've never heard that either.
It's just like what, Mary, like merry-go-round around the altar?
They circle the altar three times. That's what it says in my news article.
Okay, fantastic.
The father of the groom then actually tried to swing at the priest in retaliation. But luckily he was restrained.
Mind you, again, this place only has 470 people. This is literally the entire city.
Yeah. When everyone calmed down, however, the ceremony was able to be completed, but the priest then disappeared immediately afterwards. He literally was just like, you guys are married, bye.
Yeah, you do? Great, see ya.
I've had enough of this stuff.
Kiss him if you want, I'm out of here.
Yeah, good, you're married, kiss her, bye.
Good, you're married. See you in a couple months when you divorce.
Yeah, you sick family.
You sick bastards. Oh my God. I love the fact, though, that he also threw down the prayer book. He's like,
yeah.
He's like, Jesus, I got to put you down for a second because I got to knock this SOB out.
It's like a movie. No more.
No more. What do you mean it's like a movie?
Because, like, I don't know, dramatic.
It's very dramatic.
Yes.
He, like, flings the book aside. But yep. Did this happen in the middle of the ceremony?
Yeah, it happened right after the Isaiah dance.
And then they just sort of carried on for a little bit, and he left.
And then
really
they finished the ceremony, and then he got out of there.
Man, that's amazing. You know what? Weddings are really long, Rich.
They are. They can be.
I feel like dancing and brawls would be something to liven up the pace of a wedding mass.
Yeah, tell you what, it'll make that weddings more interesting.
People are like
we're in the wedding season. Yeah.
Exactly. Look, guys, if you're out
there... Let's make it official, all right? If you're planning a wedding...
We're now wedding planners, by the way.
Yeah.
Officially.
Do your guests a favor. Let's throw something interesting into the mix. Have a fight. Right in the middle. Why not? It's the new traditional fight.
We offer, at very reasonable rates, a new fight package.
Yes.
Basically, what happens is, if your fan's a Fight Club... in the middle of your wedding mass, we can have a ring of people rush to the altar and start brawling right there.
Yeah, right there.
It's fantastic. Go to the website for some testimonials. Bridget from Albany says it really added something special and memorable for all those in attendance, and the photo album never turned out better.
Oh my God! Can you imagine the black and white photos?
Oh, it would be.
Oh my gosh, of your dad getting punched in the jaw by the priest.
There's something
so lovely.
There's something about, and also there's something about, you know, the stark tones that really brings out the blood.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, especially with the bride's white dress, it really comes out very nicely.
Yep. Oh.
Those are just some of the packages we offer at Crispy Noodle Wedding Planning.
Yes. All right.
Packages start at how expensive are weddings? Let's say $10,000.
Yes. $10,000. I don't know.
We're running a special, though. If you email us with the code FISTFIGHT, we'll give you 5% off.
Yes. And we'll sponsor.
I'm like overly proud about it. I'm like wringing my hands. Like, yeah. We're going to be wedding planners. We're going to start fist fights.
Yes. Wow, that's a sentence I don't think that's ever been said before.
I'm so excited. We're gonna be wedding planners and start fist fights.
Fist fight.
You're telling me that wouldn't be interesting?
Oh, I'm in.
You're sitting there. You're sweating.
It does. It gets
you're
boring.
You're sweating. Everybody's crying. The old Italian women. Oh, che sta bella. And then next thing you know, the priest is in. Bam! 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 Knocking out everybody. Yeah, you jump up. Get the chair!
Get the chair, yeah!
He pulls out a steel chair. Bam!
Now we're talking WWE, yeah.
The bride is freaking out. She's crying.
There's a title belt that's hanging over the altar.
They're climbing over
Jesus. It's a ladder match.
They're climbing over Jesus. They're at the top of the crucifix. They're swaying back and forth.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Instead of a title belt, it's like the bouquet of flowers. You have to get up and get... Or the rings. The rings,
the
Rich.
The rings are up
the
there.
The rings, Rich. This started as a throwaway gag, but this is real
now.
No,
we're doing
this. You realize this is real now.
We're doing this. This is a real thing now.
This is a real thing now. This is happening, folks.
Yep. Whoever gets married first, this is the wedding.
It's a good industry to go into.
Yeah.
Hey, you're like, oh, I picked some flowers. Here, I have a tulip. $10,000.
No. Ladder match.
Ladder match. We also do hors d'oeuvres.
Tasty hors d'oeuvres.
Yes. pizza.
Whew.
Pizza's not an hors d'oeuvre. We had pizza for dinner, and I just got pizza on the brain. Wow.
Yeah, all right.
I'm really excited about our new career, Rich.
Yeah, man. I'm interested in performing ladder matches now at weddings. I think this is a good deal.
At the end of the mass, everybody's all battered and bruised, and the wedding dress is in tatters, you know, some guy's like holding a bloody nose, and you're standing back there and you go, it's really beautiful what we do.
All right.
Okay, next story.
Yeah, we got to move on to the next story here because it's time for some Florida news.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah. I got a couple Florida stories here for you.
All right. What do you got?
Let's do this one. Police arrested a man on Friday after they say he dialed 911 and hung up more than 100 times in just a few days.
What? Were these like butt dials? Or
no.
No? He did this on purpose?
62-year-old Leonard. Was it 60? Wait a minute. No, it's Leon. I didn't even realize that. It's Leon. 62-year-old Leon.
Annoying bird. I am the great Leon.
Yes, the great Leon.
Oh, he was the great Leon. He was very great at calling the cops and hanging up.
Yeah. 62-year-old Leon Lee Mitchell.
Annoying bird. I am the great Leon.
Well, he called Pinellas County Regional 911 125 times in 4 days.
That's absurd.
Half of those calls were hang-ups, while most of the other calls were lines in which he abandoned the conversation and you just heard him breathing or his music in the background.
Annoying bird. I am the great Leon.
Yeah.
So, what was the purpose? Did he have a purpose or was he just messing around? Was this just like random or... Did he, like, have it out for somebody, or was he mentally unstable?
This is when Clearwater police officers mapped the hang-up calls to his apartment, and they confronted him about the 911 calls. Cops say that Mitchell never needed help, however, but Mitchell said that
he needs help, just a different type of help.
Yeah, but Mitchell said that he did need some service, and he didn't get it. He claimed that, quote, I've been exposed to something beyond my way of thinking, and that, quote, an artistic robotic technician was invading my mind.
An artistic robotic technician was invading my mind.
Yes.
What the hell is an artistic robotic technician?
Annoying bird. I am the great Leon.
He's the great Leon. I don't know. Do what? Artistic robotic technician.
So a robotic technician of what?
Of
just
art?
A general technician of art?
Artistic robotic technician. I don't know. I've never heard anything like this before.
Well, you're not as great as Leon.
Yeah, right?
Annoying bird. I am the great Leon.
The great Leon.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. So this robotic technician is invading his mind.
That's what he claims.
Okay. What? Are you not taking his claim seriously, Rich?
Yeah.
He was a victim of a very invasive crime by this artistic robotic technician.
Well, News Channel 8 confirmed with the police that they could not find any information about a, quote, artistic robotic technician.
What? They couldn't find anything?
No, nothing. Yep.
I can't believe another artistic robotic technician is going to get away with a crime like this.
No way. I don't believe it.
Yeah, boy, man.
Using his power in the government to get out of this one. It's just despicable.
Well, Mitchell's next door neighbor.
Did they actually investigate that? Like, all right, guys, let's look for signs of an artistic robotic technician.
Whatever the hell that is.
What signs are you looking for? Paintings of Picasso hanging on the walls?
With like a robotic arm?
With a robotic arm. You see here? This landscape painting has got robot stuff in it. This could only be done by an artistic robotic technician. I don't know what voice I'm doing,
yeah,
Rich.
What is this?
This is a weird, maybe Florida investigator voice.
Okay.
I don't think that's what they sound like.
I have no idea.
But that's what they sound like now. That's what they sound like now.
Mitchell's next door neighbor told cops that He ran out of his medication, and that is why he's been acting weird lately.
That's a very reasonable explanation.
Or it could be the artistic robotic technician was invading his brain.
I don't know. I like that one better. I like robots.
Annoying bird. I am the great Leon.
So, yeah.
I feel bad that they never caught the artistic robotic technician, though.
911, useless.
I know, really, in this day and age, you know, if we can't count on our police officers to catch the artistic robotic technicians, I mean, how can we trust them for catching non-artistic robotic technicians? You know, what about the artistic robotic magicians or artistic robotic, you know, whatevers? You know, it's just...
No way! I don't believe it!
It's a very, very sad state.
All right, I have another Florida story here for you, and this one is just amazing to think about, because alleged flatulence led to a fist fight between two couples at a bar in Florida. Yep.
You're going to fight over farting?
Yep.
Fart fights.
And, yep, the argument between two couples about a fart turned violent at the Sloppy Joe's bar in Key West. Boy, man, is that a legit establishment, Sloppy Joe's bar.
I love the fact that they're arguing about farts at a place called Sloppy Joe's.
Yep.
I mean, come on. That's perfect, right?
Florida, through and through
Florida,
here.
Florida, yeah.
Officer Richard McBride said that, quote, the argument was due to someone farting. McBride said that the couple was drinking at the bar when an unidentified man punched him in the face.
What?
After they argued about a fart. Yep.
He just farts and somebody runs up and just socks him.
Yep. One man suffered a dislocated shoulder during the scuffle.
How?
Wow. Yeah.
This is all over a fart, people.
Right. Yeah, keep in mind, this is all over a fart.
Does it smell bad? Sure. Is it embarrassing? Yeah. Is it punch-worthy? I don't know. Have you ever punched anybody over a fart, Rich?
Not over a fart, no.
What about a burp?
No, not over a burp.
It's just insane. Like, you can't possibly take that much offense to it that you hit somebody. Come on.
No charges were being pressed, so I guess they both walked away and just were like, scrut.
Because it's too ridiculous. How are you going to press charges over this? You know, and appear in court. Well, Your Honor, this guy farted and we got into an argument because I didn't like him farting. I wanted him to, what, take it back? what's the point of arguing?
Yeah, how does this work in a law and order case?
I object, Your Honor. It's impossible. That is speculative to say that this man farted. We all know that he who smelt it, dealt it.
Your Honor, I object. He who denied it, supplied it.
Your Honor, I have to object to that objection. He's using childish ad hominem attacks to prove his point. I think it should be thrown out. Mistrial.
I object to the objection to the objection by just saying he's a nincompoop, na-na-na-na-boo-boo.
Your Honor! That's what the court case would be.
Yeah.
That's an exact transcript.
There you go.
Reading it from the court files.
Yes.
We have really excellent research here at the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah.
We get stuff that doesn't even exist. No other podcast can do that.
Yep. And there's sometimes when we look up Wikipedia, so we go back and forth.
Yeah, we switch between those two things.
All right, I got one more story here for you. One last Florida story to wrap up the odd news for this week.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy. All right, what do you got for me?
And we're going to follow the case with Barry Zimmerman here.
Okay.
Barry Zimmerman of Lakeland, Florida, lives on the shores of a lake called Lake Horny.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
But he is petitioning to have its name changed.
Okay.
It seems that Zimmerman is sick of any salacious jokes that keep popping up when he mentions that he lives near Lake Horny.
I know it's something to do with sex.
Zimmerman has officially petitioned the U.S. Board of Geographic Names to rename the lake.
That's impressive.
Yeah, he's going all the way up to
the top.
Going
all the way to the top.
Oh, yeah.
Hobbits are horny. Horny as hobbits. It goes together. It should be a song. I am a horny hobbit. Who dat? Who dat? Oh, I have my horny and my horny hobbit goes. I have my in doubt. I have things in clouds. I have a horny hobbit and horny hobbit goes. See what I mean? That is a hit.
Man, I love that song. That's great. So are there horny hobbits on Horny Lake?
I guess so.
This sounds like a really bad Lord of the Rings spinoff.
Yeah.
The horny hobbits by Horny Lake. They're just screwing with their big furry feet.
Zimmerman.
I just left that one out there to dangle. You just, sure. Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. Zimmerman told the board that he does not want to denigrate Mr. Horny's contributions to the history of Lakeland. But I think coming up, this might be the most formal sentence I've ever read in the Odd News.
All right, guys, ready? This is history.
Yeah.
Here we go.
But Zimmerman has said in court that, quote, I believe the name should be changed because it is homonymic to a vulgar term meaning concupiscent or libidinous.
What? Libidinous. Can I get a translation?
Yeah, man. This guy's using like $10 words here.
This does not belong in the Odd News. Yeah. This is like...
This guy is way too professional for the Odd News.
I know, right? I feel like I'm intimidated by this guy now.
Concupiscent or libidinous. Libidinous.
I'm just going to let you keep on trying to pronounce those words.
Getting to the end of the...
See, this is the point where the coffee is running out,
yeah.
The steam is running out, and you're just like, words.
Words.
So, cocoon.
No, it's not cocoon.
Cocoon and libido.
Anyway.
What does that even mean?
Concupiscent or...
Concupiscent.
Libidinous.
Concupiscent. Sorry, I'm trying to spell it into Google.
There you go. Or
filled with sexual desire.
Yep.
And what was the other one?
Libidinous.
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 That has something to do with libido, showing excessive sexual drive. They both mean the same thing.
There you go.
They literally mean the same thing.
Well, anyway.
Sexual drive, sexual desire, same difference.
That was his official statement.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Yeah. One woman who used to live on Lake Horny Drive admits that she got embarrassed by the street name as well. And she would tell people that, quote, I actually live on Lake Horney.
Lake Horney. Ooh.
Fancy. Ooh.
Is that what the French say? Uh-huh. I'm not horny. I'm a Horney.
Oh, yes.
Bébé.
I'm
going to give you my baguette.
Right
there
to the
haven't
point.
Been enough penis jokes in the
no,
afternoon.
Why not? Add it
Come on.
On.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Also, in other news, I'm now 12.
Yes. Well, the lake was not named after the slang word for sexual desire, but out of a desire to honor Julius Teague Horney, who developed the Lakeland area in the 20s.
What Lake Julius, then?
There you go. That should be a solution.
I mean, anything other than Lake Horney. Come on.
Well, Lake Horney does have a big defendant.
What if somebody's name was like Butt Effer?
Well,
you're all Lake Butt Effer, you know? I'm going to change my name to that and do something famous and force somebody to name a road after it.
Well, guess what?
What?
The Miami New Times would disagree with you. They
really?
Have come to the defense of Lake Horney's name and have said in an editorial, these people are, of course, very stupid.
Wow. So the one guy is saying... concupiscibilia and libidinous and the what was this?
The newspaper.
These guys are dumb. They're stupid. I hate them.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
and further on, they say in their official editorial, what does this say to all the people out there who have to go through life with a unintentionally hilarious name? The next monuments in the area around here should be named Cox's, Dix's, Cummings, Cockburns, and Gaylord.
Yeah, woo. Sure, why not?
Sure. So
the newspaper.
Yeah, think about this. The newspaper is actually less mature than the guy
who lives on Lake Horney.
Who lives on Lake Horney and is petitioning the government to change the name.
I thought we were being immature this episode. That newspaper.
Miami New Times.
Wow.
There you
That's
go.
That's ridiculous. I can't believe the newspaper said that he was stupid.
Yeah, he's stupid.
These people are stupid. Sounds like a petulant child. They're stupid. I don't like them. I'm going to name it Butt Lake. Like, I mean, come on.
name it.
I'm going to write an editorial that says that the paper is stupid.
There you go. Rename the paper Ass Newspaper.
Ass Newspaper. Get your Daily Ass here, the Daily Ass.
Yeah, all right.
Read all about it. Extra, extra, the Daily Ass.
You read it, and then you can use it for your ass.
I'm going to open up and peruse the Daily Ass. Going to turn to the center of the Daily Ass.
Yep. Stocks are down.
Stocks are down.
There you go. That's how it works.
Oh, my God.
And there you go, folks. That's what I have for you in the non-fortune cookie odd news for this week. But before we officially end the show, it's time to go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I've learned that there is a newspaper in Florida called the Daily Ass.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting to read. They have lots of fun stories.
You read it, and then you use it for your ass.
There you go. It's perfect. It's like the circle of life over there, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how it's the circle of life, but it is. I'm standing by it. I also learned that there's such a thing as artistic robotic technicians.
Yeah. They'll get you, man.
Yeah, they will. Early reports have still not indicated what they exactly are, but they're very elusive. The police couldn't find them. So be careful, folks. We just want you to stay safe against those artistic robotic technicians.
Yeah.
Don't let them repair your appliances.
Yeah, don't let them. So you don't have to call 911 125 times in 4 days.
That's right. That's right. I also learned that this is something everybody learned. Rich, we're going into the wedding planning business.
Yeah.
The Crispy Noodle Wedding Planners. We have a great new fight
ladder
package.
Ladder match.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great spectacle for the whole family to enjoy at your next event.
Yes.
We don't do just weddings. We do birthdays, funerals. I mean, whatever. Whatever you guys want.
Isn't Grandma going to enjoy you climbing up the ladder to retrieve those rings?
I think so.
I think so.
Grandma would love that. Yeah. Isabella! You know, just weeping. Weeping. Just rivers.
Beautiful.
I also learned that you need to carry around argument propane canisters to end your arguments. You'll win every single one of them.
Yeah, no more mic drops. It's now throwing propane
into
the fire.
Forget the mic drop. It's now the propane throw.
Yep. There you go, folks. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Whew. Man, there you go, folks. Our crazy show for this week is coming to an end.
Man, that was fantastic.
Yeah, man.
I had a good time. We batted 1,000 in terms of juvenile humor.
Yeah, I think every segment.
Every segment
had some sort of penis joke or sex joke.
I mean, that's really...
That's our goal.
That's our motto here. We are going to be the Crispy Noodle. I mean, we're the Crispy Noodle. Think about it. We're all one big sexual innuendo. Rich is like, don't do this to the outro, you son of a bitch.
Yes.
I am sorry, everyone.
It's all right.
I'm sorry.
Damn it, Mike.
But,
you know, as long as you guys are getting a laugh out of it, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Yeah. And if you've enjoyed the show this far, I'd recommend that you check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure that you like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and you follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where we have all of our video noodles, best bits, interviews, and other fun stuff up there. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free, straight to your phone, computer, or tablet. You can listen to us at home, on the go, or at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for download and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where we have mini noodles, which are the best bits of the show, condensed into a 1 to 2 minute clip that you can play on the go or and share with friends and family, the craziness that is our little show.
That's right. And if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, you can find me at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. tweet at us. And, you know, if there's something that you want us to talk about, we'll see if we can get it on the show.
Yeah, we love to hear from you guys. So definitely get in touch with us.
That's right. Folks, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Oh, man. I think that's going to do it for us for this week. Yeah. One last sex joke, right? Right there at the end.
I did not even mean it that way.
Did.
I swear.
You did.
No, I did. No, I did. I'm an innocent. Hear no evil. See no evil. Speak no evil, Rich.
All right. Fair enough. That'll do it for us. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
What's the deal with the podcast? What's going on? It's just crazy. It's wild. It's the Crispy Noodle 2016. Oh my gosh.